with, again, anyone that busies himself, the mitzvahs, PM pasuch betfilah fnei hamakom, a person that is oisek in mitzvahs, they have the koyach ha-tfilah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to their tfilah more so than he would listen otherwise in the zchus of doing the mitzvahs. Okay, in the zchus of doing the mitzvahs. Let me get the microphone, adjust the microphone 1 second. What happened over here? Okay. Anyone that is oisek in mitzvahs, shenemar, v'sigzer oimer v'yokom loch. Okay, one pasuk says, v'sigzer oimer, you declare, you are goizer, a statement, v'yokim loch. Now this pasuk refers to, we need more of the context of the pasuk, but the understanding is that the pasuk is addressing a person that fulfills Hashem's will, and if such a person makes a statement, he makes a gezera, meaning he demands of Hashem, he asks of Hashem for a request, it is established. The Oimer, another pasuk, Kashkifa Mimon Kachcha, and the pasuk there go on to say, Uvorech Hasamcha Es Yisrael, the pasuk goes on to say, that is the farmer. That is the farmer who brings the Bikurim, and at the end of the Bikurim, he asks, no, not that, that's the Vidui Maisra, so that's the Vidui Maisra. After a person brings his Maisrois for 3 years in a row, the first year, the second, the third year, he then makes a request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Hashem, look, I did what I'm supposed to do, and now I ask that you do what you are supposed to do. You shall look down from heaven, and you shall bless the Jewish people in the Zchus of the Avos. So there, the person is coming to make a request, he's coming to make a tefillah after he has done Hashem's mitzvahs. The Vidui is a very powerful idea, that we don't find that often in the Torah, prayers by private people. Okay, let me put everyone here on mute, 1 second, I'm getting over here some interference. So we don't find so often that a person can make a demand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Zuchu, but here we have a person who's making a demand from HaKadosh Baruch Hu after he has fulfilled Hashem's mitzvahs for 3 years in a row. First year, Ma'aser Rishon, Ma'aser Sheni. Second year, the same thing. The third year, Ma'aser Rishon, Ma'aser Ani. And before the end of the fourth year, he has to come to the Beis HaMikdash and make a statement that he has done, he has fulfilled the mitzvahs of Ma'aseros, and therefore, He asks of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashkifa Mimoin Kachcha Min Hashamayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should reciprocate. Okay, next. And here is the last pasuk. This is why this is brought down. The pasuk is HaKol B'Zchus Shvatim, and then it goes HaKol B'Zchus Shvatim Shenemar Shivuois Matois Oimer Sela, due to the oath that Hashem made to the Matois. Now, in other words, this pasuk here, what we extract from this Maamar Chazal is there are three psukim. There is a trio. Three psukim that come together to teach us this principle that if a person is oisek in mitzvahs and he is mispalel to Hashem, Hashem will listen to his prayers. What is the significance of putting all of these three psukim together? So it appears that there is a triple zuchus, a person's own merit, the merit of the avos, and the merit of the shvatim. Okay, the shvatim means the merit, would appear to mean the merit of the entire klal Yisrael together. The shvuas matois, the matois are the tribes, the Jewish people, the whole klal Yisrael. We have three psukim, which are pretty much saying exactly the same thing, that a person has the ability to make a request of Hashem, and Hashem will fulfill his request. The first pasuk, and all of them have in common the word, well, I don't know, but Hashkif, okay, it doesn't say the word Omer in the second pasuk, and Hashkifa, but it's the same principle. In the first pasuk in Iyov, it says, V'sigzar Omer V'yakam Lecha, a person, he makes a request, and his request is as if he was issued a gzera, and it is established. The context of that pasuk is the request is fulfilled in his own merit. The context of the pasuk of Hashkifa Mimoin Kachcha Min Hashamayim Uvorech Es Amcha Es Yisrael, after 3 years, bringing the maestros, a farmer is mispalel to Hashem, and Hashem fulfills his request, the zuchus of that request is in the merit of kasher nishpata la'avoseinu, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And this pasuk in Chavakuk is the completion of this principle, where a person over here is making a request, because here what we're doing appears to be Oimer Sela. Oimer, according to this Chazal, is not the statement of Hashem, it is the statement of man. Man speaks to Hashem, he makes a request, Hashem fulfills his request. Why? Because of the Shavuos, the oaths that Hashem has taken to the Matos, to the tribes, to Klal Yisrael. We learn here an awesome, awesome principle, that when a person comes before Kadosh Baruch Hu and makes a request, and Hashem listens, it's the combination of three factors that bring success. His own zuchus, number two, zuchus avos, number three, the zuchus of Klal Yisrael. Iyuv is revealing to us the zuchus of yourself. The pasuk over here is discussing the zuchus of the matois of Klal Yisrael, and the pasuk in Parshas Kisavo is describing the zuchus of the avos hakadoshim. So it's a trio. Three things come together to create this merit. Okay, let's now go to the next chazal. The next chazal is Hashem Ish Milchama Hashem Shemoy, the post that was said by Kriyas Yamsof. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Harei Zemikra Oshir B'mekoymos Harbe. This is a rich pasuk. B'mekoymos Harbe. Now, when we say the word Oshir, what do we think of? We think of the green, Benjamin, right? Benjamin, Jackson, and Abe, right? We think of all our friends, Chavereinu, our holy friends.
About the Benjamins,
the Benjamins. Okay, so we think about our friends. That's when we think about an Oshir. Yet Chazal, when they have an Oshir, they have a very different perspective on the meaning of the word Oshir. Look, in Pirkei Avos it says, Ezer Oshir, Hasoimeach Bechelkoi. Ashirus is defined in terms of happiness. Here, it says something a little bit different. Let's see. Harei ze mikro Oshir b'mekoyim asarbe. Magid shenigle aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol kilei Zion. Hashem appeared with all of his weapons. Nigla aleim b'chanis. In one pasuk, it reveals that Hashem appeared with a spear. Shenemar lenoiga birak chanisecha. The shine, the radiance of the light of your spear. Okay, it was typical in ancient times that soldiers would polish their weapons in order that it should be fresh and it should glow. It should cast light. It should reflect the light of the sun. So here it's this in reference to Hashem. It says the word chanis, negla aleihem bekeshes uvechitzim. Hashem revealed himself to the world with a bow and arrow, and that's the pasuk of Chavakuk. Shenemar erya seir kashdecha. Okay, and that is it. That's it. That's all the klei zayin. That's it. What about the cherev? What about the armor? What about the shields? What about the boots? Okay, that's it. How come over here we stop short? I don't know. Obviously, there must be more to this. This is a very intriguing Maimar Chazal, where we take the pasuk in Oz Yashir, that Hashem appeared at Kriyas Yamsuf as an Ish Milchama, a warrior, a Gibor Milchama, and we begin to elaborate by searching Tanakh to discover the various weapons that Hashem has. And here, at least on this page, only presented to us two of the many, the Chanis and the Keshes. our pasuk mentions the keshes. Okay, we had already three perushim as to what the keshes refers to. The first perush is the symbol perush is a, it's, like, it's really a metaphor, the bow and arrow. The other interpretation we discussed was the rainbow. That was the Malbim from last week. And we discussed yesterday in very great detail that it also refers to the erva, refers to the male reproductive organ. One word has, look how many perushim we have on this one word, and the perushim are very broad. Each perush has a very different interpretation, approach to what this really means. Next, Maim Chazal. Yeah.
I would just point out that the full version of that Medrash lists a variety of weapons.
Oh, it does list. Okay, I'm sorry. So Erechanani. Okay, so Erechanani, that we only touched the surface. Okay, Erechanani. Erechanani, you're saying,
I mean, I'm looking at it. And, okay.
So it has a lot.
It's got a whole list.
Okay, there's a lot more than just what we learned. Okay, very good. Okay, good. Okay, further. Let's now go to the next Maim Chazal. Asher nishba Hashem l'avoseichem, Hashem has sworn to your forefathers, li Avraham, li Yitzchak, uli Yaakov, my Talmud loymar la Avraham li Yitzchak uli Yaakov. Why are there three psukim? Im le'inyan shvuos avos. If are we referring to the shvuos of the avos, hari karnemar shvuos matos emer sela. So, why in Parshas Devarim do we need to repeat all three? We already know now, that's very bizarre, that Chazal would go to a pasuk in Navi to prove that Hashem has already given an oath to the Avos together, but yet that's what it does. This pasuk here in Chavakuk obviously is a very critical pasuk. This pasuk is revealing to us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken an oath to the Avos to guarantee, to promise that their survival. The matis here, we really, according to this Chazal, refers to the Ovis. Okay, the Ovis. I told you before in the previous Chazal, when we had a trio, three Memori Chazal, the matis, I tried to suggest to you, refers more to Klal Yisrael. And, because the matis literally means the tribes. Here, in this Memori Chazal, we're saying the word matis refers to the Ovis. Okay, let's go further. So, my time, what then does it mean? Avram, Litzchak, Yaakov, Kedai, Avram, Yatzmai? The answer is, and this is what we do in Shemoyne Esrei as well, that the reason why it says each one, Kedai, Avraham, Yatzmai, Kedai, Yitzchak, Yatzmai, Kedai, Yaakov, Yatzmai. Each one is worthy in their own right. We are zoiche to Eretz Yisrael and to the brachos in the merit of each one in their own right. Moshul lemelosh nasa liavdo sada achas b'matana. A king gave a servant a gift. Lo nitna lo ela kimoy shehi. He only gave him the field the way it was. Amad ha'eved ha'chub hishbicha. The slave got up, the servant got up, and he improved. He made capital investments in the earth. V'omar ma biyadi. What is in my hand? You have only given what it is. Okay, I'm not sure what he means over here. Let's go further. Chazar vinata kermivin, maybe he planted a vineyard. Amar ma'biyadi loy nidna li el kamay shehi. Koch, so to kishnas kalash baruch li avram avinu esa aritz loy nidna loy el kamay shehi. Shenemar. Kum hisalech ba'aretz la'orkol rechba kilchad nena. Amad Avraham v'hishpicha. Shenemar. Vayita he planted eshel b'er shava. Amad Yitzchak v'hishpicha. Shenemar. Vayizra Yitzchak b'aretz haki v'yimsa v'ashonechi me'as shorim. Amad Yaakov v'hishpicha. Shenemar. Vayikan eschelka sasode. So this is an amazing chazal. Here it's teaching us over here that each one of the avos, each one of the avos improved the land. It's an incredible asher nishbat la'avoseinu li Avraham li Yitzchak uli Yaakov. Okay, each one went along, and I'm not really sure if I understand the mashal. Amar ho eved, v'yishpicha v'amar ma biyadi, loy nisana li ela kimoy shehi. Chazar unita'a kerem v'amar ma biyadi, loy nisana li ela kimoy shehi. I don't know what that means. I really don't know what that means, but one thing I do take... Yes, please.
Suggest, it sounds as though Hashem gave us a land as is, and then left it to the Avos to improve on it, just as the mashal here with the king gives...
So what's the mashal? I don't say, what's the mashal? What's the mashal?
So each one of the Avos improves upon what he receives from his father.
That I understand. I understand that part. But what's the mashal? What's the beginning? A king gives a piece of land to a servant. What do these words mean?
Right.
So the servant says, Omad ho'eved hahu v'hishpicha. He improves it. Now, what do the next words mean?
Right.
The Omar. Who says this? Who's the one who makes this statement? The servant. Ma biyadi loy nisana li Elo kimois shehi. What does that mean exactly? I don't know that. What is the servant saying? That what is it? What is in my hands? You only have given the way it is. I don't know what he means by that. Then yeah.
It sounds like he's saying, you only, your Majesty only gave me a piece of land, and look what I've done for it.
Okay, all right. You're saying I've done even more.
Kemot shehi is a raw material, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to the Avot to see what they are going to do with it.
Okay.
And Abraham ishbicha, Yitzchak ishbicha, Yaakov ishbicha. Oh, now this is what I wanted. I don't want to give you land and then you do whatever you want. I mean, nashbiach hoda.
Or not a ready-made. With nothing for you to improve upon.
Okay, and here he's coming to improve it. Okay, excellent. So we take out of this an incredible principle, is that the land, each one of the Avos qualitatively improved the land, and the psukim that seem to be mundane are really spiritual psukim. When Avraham planted an eshel, we know it doesn't just mean that he planted an orchard. Chazal's eshel drasha teva sachila shesia levaya. When it says here that Yitzhak went and he planted it and he found the mea she'arim, okay, I don't know what it means, but obviously it doesn't just mean something mundane. The fact that we're comparing it to the eshel, it means that Yitzhak established some morals, some ethics in the land. He did something. He did something there in the land which the Pasuk describes as Yitzchak, as Vayizra Yitzchak Ba'aretz Ahi Vayimso Ba'ashona Ahi Me'a Sharim. It doesn't just mean he planted seed. It means he invested in the ethical conduct. He established a way of life. Vayizra, if this Medrash is comparing the actions of Yitzchak, of Ayizra, Yitzchak, Baritz Ahi, to what Avram Avinu did with the Eshel, it has to mean that Yitzchak went, he established a system of government, he established laws, he established morals and ethics, how society should conduct themselves. And he was successful 100 times more than he expected. And likewise, Yaakov, Omad Yaakov Yishvicha Shnemar Vayiken Eschelkas HaSodeh. He acquired the field, the Sodeh. It has to mean that he has done, because we're comparing it to the Eshel. And everyone knows that the Eshel wasn't just Stam, an orchard. The Eshel was just a front to do chesed, to give people achila, shesia, levoya, and to introduce them to Yadus. The Eshel was the first Chabad house. Everyone knows that. Everyone knows that Vayita Eichel is Begematria Chabad. Even though I never made the calculation, it has to be somehow in some mathematical system that has yet to be invented, by human beings, that the Gematria of Vayita Eichel is Chabad, or a Chabad house. Let's now go to the next Chazal, the last one over here on this, on the last one here on the pay on this pasuk, and that is Vayikan Chelkas Asode. Next, Vegames Games Achecha Mate Levi Ein Mate Ela Shavua Shenemar Shavuos Matois Oimer Sela. So here we have a new drasha that when it says the word Mate, even though until now we have been using the word mate we have been using either to refer to the Ovois or to refer to Klal Yisrael, here in this Maamar Chazal, Mate is a reference to an oath, a shavua, just like we find it used. It's used over here in reference to a shavua. So too in Chumash, when it says with Mate, we borrow from this pasuk Chavakuk that there also it alludes to an oath that Hashem has taken. All right, this concludes the Maamar Chazal. Now, before we go to the next pasuk, let's see if we should do some of the grah. Let's go further. So let's move ahead. Okay, I think we pretty much covered what we need to cover. Let's now move ahead to the next pasuk. Pasuk. Yud. Pasuk Yud says, Ru'ucha yachilu harim zerem mayim avar nosan tohoim koilo rom yadehu nosa. Let's translate the words with the Mitzudos David. Pasuk Yud, Ru'ucha ka'asher ru'ucha hori arunayim. Lefi the Mitzudos, he is continuing to describe the rivers of Arnon, our passage in the desert. We passed in the desert, and our enemies were waiting to ambush us on the top of a mountain, and miraculously the two mountains came together and crushed our enemies in between, and Hashem sent Nachal Arnon to flood that area and to transport the blood and the body parts of our enemies that were miraculously destroyed in front of us, through the blood transported and presented their blood, and we then realized the miracle that Hashem has done for us. Now, by the way, there's a principle in halacha that if you give a gift to a person, you have an obligation to make him aware that you have given him a gift. A person sometimes can think that when you give a gift, you want to be anonymous. That's not correct. Chazal make it very clear that when you give tzedakah, when you give charity, then it's a very good thing to be anonymous. That's a very, very, that's a very beautiful thing, charity. But when you give a person a gift, you're not supposed to be anonymous. You're supposed to make the person aware, one way or another, who is the one who gave this gift. The Gemara gives an example. If you have a child today, see, today this is impossible. But it used to be back in the day when people did not feel, they felt much safer in this world. There's a child, and you want to be mahana the child. So you give the child a cookie. You give the child some food. And the child takes the candy, he eats the candy, eats the food. And you want the parents to know, I have done you a favor. I have filled up this child's stomach. I gave him some candy. So the Chazal say you should take the candy and you should rub it on his face. In other words, make some type of residue on his face so that when the child will go home, the parents will see that on his face there is a mark. And they'll ask the child...
You give him chocolate and you put some on his forehead.
I'm sorry? You what?
You give him chocolate.
Chocolate.
You give him chocolate
and you put a chocolate smear. A chocolate smear. So when the child goes home, the parent will see, how come there's chocolate on your head and your face? And then the child will say, oh, this nice fellow, he gave me a piece of chocolate. See, today in the year 2020, if that happens, they'll right away call the police and they'll arrest the person who gave the child the chocolate. And then they'll take the child to the hospital to make sure that he wasn't poisoned and he wasn't abused. We live in a very different world. But in the olden days...
Then they'll be looting afterwards.
And then they'll be looting, exactly.
And a present in a Lord and Taylor bag,
Then the guy will try to exchange the most detail, and they'll say, we never sold it.
Who knows? Today we live in a very funny world, okay? A very, very funny world. But it used to be back in the olden days that when you do so, and people were not so suspicious, it was much safer. And Chazal said that when you give a person the gift, you have an obligation. It's a good thing they should, the recipient should know who gave the gift. It brings love. It brings achdus in this world. Only when it comes to charity is there a principle that a person is better to be anonymous. When a person takes charity, he is humiliated. And if he will come in contact with his beneficiary, that only adds to the humiliation. So here, it's something very similar. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we had done for Klal Yisrael an awesome, awesome kindness. He did a chesed. Hashem, we were walking through in the desert, and our enemies were laying in ambush, and it could have been disastrous. And Hashem did for us a miracle. And the truth is, we never would have known. We never would have known what happened. Therefore, Hashem did not want that to be the situation. He wanted us to be aware that He had done for us a kindness. And that is why He redirected the waters of Arnon to present before Klal Yisrael the blood and body parts of our enemies. So we should be aware of the miracle that He has done for us. So back to the Metzudas David, Ru'ucha kasher Ru'ucha hori Arnon, when the mountains of Arnon saw Arnon over Lefnei Yisrael, when they saw the people of the Jewish people pass before them, Cholu v'ra'adu m'mucha, they trembled, v'niskarvu zelozeh, the mountains came close to one another, v'horgu es ha'nistarim, the bikei harim, it crushed our enemies that were positioned in ambush in between these two mighty mountains, and they were crushed. Next words of the Metzudos, Zerem Mayim Avar, Zerem Mei Habe'er Avar Bein Heharim, a torrent of water from the well flowed between these mountains, V'Helo Mei Evrei Haharugim, and it brought up the body parts of the dead, L'Hidia Hanes LiYisrael, Nosan Tehoim Koiloi, Oimek Neha Be'er, Hishmiya Koiloi, the depths of the water of the Be'er, Hishmiya Koiloi, gave forth a sound, Lefar Se Manes, so there's also sound, Ritzoy Neloima Al Yodoy, so the Tahoim Koiloi over here, according to the parish of the Mitzvah, the word Koiloi does not literally mean sound. It's not an audible sound, it means actions. Actions speak louder than words. Through the miracle of what Hashem did, it became known, the miracle. Roim Yodeyu Nasar, Roim Moskoyach Yad Mahamakam Nisa Os Adlamal, at that moment in time, the exaltedness of Hashem's power was revealed. Kikulam Hikiru Beniflois of the entire world came to recognize Hashem's wonders. Okay, so this is the beautiful parish of the Mitzvah David. We're describing over here, according to his understanding, the entire pasuk. Or let me take off the screen off. Okay, according to the parish of the Mitzvah David, the entire pasuk here is describing Nachal Arnon. We are describing the amazing miracle that Hashem has done to Klal Yisrael, and the Rucha Yochilu Harim, the mountains are the mountains of Arnon. They saw what was happening, that we were passing between, that area, and the enemy was in position. Yochilu means they shook. Okay, Yochilu means they were terrified. And when a person is afraid, typically a person shakes. A person moves. The mountains moved, and the enemies were crushed. And then comes part two. Hashem sent a Zerem Mayim Avar. Hashem sent a torrent of water that it should pass through that region to bring the body parts in front of us. Nosan Tehoim Koilo. And by doing so, the Tehoim, this river, over here we are referring to the water with the word Tehoim. It made it known. It's as if it spoke the actions, the miracle of Hashem. And when this we heard, we saw, we realized, Roim Yodehu, Yodehu here is His hand with the capital H. Hashem's hand was exalted, Nasa, very, very high. An extreme awareness of Hashem's miracles. Let's see now Rashi. Rashi, Rucha, Yochilu, Harim. Hore Nachale Arnon Shenid Biku Ze Im Ze. Exactly the same interpretation. Zede Maim Ovar, a torrent of water flowed, the Ovram Bayardin Tamu Nichrusu. Now here it appears that Rashi disagrees with the Mitzudos, and we are now shifting, according to Rashi, to the Yardin. When Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, Zerem, a torrent of Mayim Ovar, Be'ovram Bayardin, when we passed through the Yardin, Tamu Nichrisu. There's a pasuk in Yeshua, which means Hamayim, the water, Ve'ovar Kiluach Shetef Hamayim, L'shipulo Shel Nahor, to the lower part of the river, Ve'haboy Melamalo Kamu Omadu, it stood tall. This is a description of how the water of the Yardin, it stood still like a mountain. Let's read through the next words, and we'll come back and explain. Nosan tehoim kolo shibchuhu yoshvei haaretz rom yodeu nasa tzvoha shamayim hodulo. Okay, something very different than Rashi, but let's take a step back. These words here, Zerem Mayim Ovar, is a very complex description of exactly how the waters of the Yardin stopped flowing and stood as a mound to allow Klal Yisrael to pass. Now we have to appreciate this idea, and we discussed this yesterday and 2 days ago, that there's a very big difference in how the waters of the Yardin stopped to allow Klal Yisrael to pass over into Eretz Yisrael versus how the Yam split. The Yam splitting is very straightforward. We have an ocean, make-believe, we're going into the ocean, and it just splits. The waters separate to the left, to the right, and we walk through in the center. When the waters of the Yam split, there is no force. On a calm day, if you go out into the Atlantic, the waters are just water. The water is moving, there are some waves. If it's a nice, beautiful day, the waters are calm. And when the waters split, there's water on the left and there's water on the right. That's not the way it is with a river. A river, there's a gush of water flowing down a mountain. There is a continuous flow of water. There is new water coming every second. Think about your faucet. Everyone had the experience where the faucet breaks and the water just keeps on coming. Toilet, there's something wrong with the toilet and the water keeps on coming into the toilet and you're in a lot of trouble. There's a flood. How do I stop the water from flooding this location, this room? You have to go and shut off the main pipe. You got to get down, find the valve to the main pipe and cut the water off. Let's say you do not have access to cut off the main water pipe. The water keeps on flowing and flowing and flowing. What are you going to do? If I'm going to put up a board and just stop the water from coming into this area, that may last for a second, but eventually that's going to be overwhelmed and it's going to build up more and more. So we have a very big problem here. When Klal Yisrael wants to cross the Yardin and the water is flowing down the mountain with enormous force and Hashem now wants the water to stop flowing, what exactly does that mean? All the water on the mountain, all the way back from miles and miles from where it comes from the snow and the hills, it's all going to stop? Is that how the miracle happened? So we have to study Yehoshua. But this pasuk here is telling us a more popular approach, and that is, no, Hashem allowed the water to continue to flow. But as it reached the stopping point where we were crossing, the miracle was the water just got higher and higher and higher and higher. And it went up, 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 up. And if it took Klal Yisrael many hours to pass, 3 million people until they passed, you only could imagine the buildup of water, of how much water kept on flowing, which ordinarily would have flowed down the mountain, and that was prevented, and it just had to be stored, and the storage location was it kept on climbing higher and higher into the sky. And then it's interesting, what happened when it collapsed? After the last Jew entered into Eretz Yisrael and it collapsed, you can imagine the catastrophe, you can imagine the force of that entire mound, how it just dropped, and it dropped to the other side and continued its way down the mountain. It must have done damage. It must have been no less than some type of like a tornado, a hurricane, or some natural disaster. I don't know. We don't know exactly what happened. All of this is a subject of dispute. And all we have are a few psukim in Sefer Yoshua that are subject of discussion. And here, according to Rashi only, at least so far, Rashi says these words here, Zerem Mayim Ovar, are three words. And in these three words is the secret to exactly the technique of Hashem in stopping the Yarding. So you go back to Rashi. Zerem, a torrent. What's the torrent? The torrent is the river. There's force. It continues to flow down the mountain. Mayim, water, Ovar, Rashi. Be'ovram bayarden, tamu nichrusu. Those are two words. He's drawing from two words in Sefer Yoshua. Now Rashi explains the deeper meaning of those two words and how it connects over here. Hamayim, the water stopped. The Ovar, we're referring to Hamayim. Let's see. The Ovar, Kiluach, Shetef Hamayim, the flow of forceful water. Shetef means a force, a water of force. Kiluach means a flow, a powerful torrent of water. Lishipuloi shel nahar. It flowed downward to the lower part of the mountain. Vehabon milamala komu amadu. It stood still. So I'm assuming it means this. I'm not going to go further because we have to really go up to Yeshua to analyze the more depth. Rashi just saying is that the waters continue to flow. At every moment of time, Hashem allowed nature to continue. There was a shetef of mayim that was continuously flowing from the mountains, from the melting snow, downwards. But problem is, there's a blockade. There is a blockade. The blockade is the Jewish people are now passing through the river. Einachinami, komu. The waters, when it got to the blockade, it stood. Omadu, which are two words which mean the same thing, which basically means, according to what it says in Yoshua, it just continued to stand taller, 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 higher, 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 higher. This is what it means over here. The mayim, mayim, zerem, mayim, avar, the torrent of water continued downstream. The next words are describing the reaction. There was a reaction in this world, and there was a reaction in Shemayim. The reaction in this world is described with the words Nasan Tam Koyloi, Shibchu Yoshve Haaretz. The word Tohoim is a metaphor for the people who live in this world. We're all in the Tohoim, in the depths. They praised Hashem. Koyloi means words of praise. Contrast that with what we learned one moment ago in the Mitzudos David. Koyloi means, the subject of Koyloi was the river, was Nachal Arnon. According to the Mitzudos, this entire expression is not describing the Yarden. It's describing the Nachal Arnon. Nachal Arnon made it known what has happened. According to Rashi, we're not describing Nachal Arnon. We are describing the Yarden. And when it says Nosan Tahoim Koyloi, the subject of Koyloi is not the water, it's mankind, it's society. The people, when they saw, when they witnessed, when they heard about the miracle, they sang Shira to Hashem. And then when it says Roim Yodeu Nosa, the exaltedness of Hashem's hin was uplifted, Tzvo HaShemayim, the heavens, The heavenly hosts, Hoidulo, gave praise to Hashem. Why was this such a magnificent moment? Because this goes back to the first Rashi. Ramachol is here. Ramachol always challenges me to say something about the first Rashi in Chumash. Bereshis, Baro Elokim. Why did the Torah begin with Bereshis? Koyach, Masav, Higil La'amoy, Loseis Lohem, Nachalas Goyim. This was the Koyach Masav. This was the moment that it all comes down to. When Klal Yisrael enters Eretz Yisrael. They enter Eretz Yisrael armed with the Torah that they received 40 years ago in the Midbar. They practiced the mitzvahs for 40 years. They're all ready to go. They're coming in to establish a homeland built upon the principles of Torah. And the Umma Yisraelam, the Canaanim, have to leave. And that's why the Torah began with Maaseh Bereishis, to make it well known. It is Hashem's world. Hashem gives, Hashem takes, Hashem nosan, Hashem lokach. It took away from the Canaanim and gave us their land. Okay, that concludes Rashi. Now let's take a look at the Radak. The Radak is short. I'll put on the screen the image of the Radak for those who do not have it. Here it comes. Okay, it's a little hard to read at the sides, but here we go. The pasuk says, "Ruucha yachilu harim harim hu mashal l'malchei Canaan." According to the Radak, we have a third parish, the mountains are not Nachale Arnon. If we take a step back and remember, both according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, the mountains refer to the mountains of Arnon. That's not what Radak says. Radak says the mountains are a metaphor for the mighty kings of Canaan, who mashal l'malchei Canaan, shenamoygu v'cholu m'bnei Yisrael, they melted. V'zeu ru'ucha ru'u ha'neflois, they witnessed the miracles, shasisim Yisrael b'midbar, v'malchei ha'mori v'tam hari'iya, ki hashmiya haberura kemo hariya. Why does it say reucha? The Radak is asking that the nations of Canaan did not actually see. They did not see. They were not in the desert. They did not see the miracles. They did not see the war that Klal Yisrael they engaged with oig and sichon and oig. And the answer is, it's the same thing, that sometimes hearing, hearing sometimes is equivalent to seeing. It says that Yaakov, he saw that there was food in Egypt. Yaakov was able to see. How could he possibly see? Yaakov did not go down to Mitzrayim. So we all know what it says in Rashi. Rashi says that he saw Beruach HaKodesh. But the Radak takes issue with that, and he means Vayar Yaakov, he heard, he read the newspaper. And in the newspaper it says, if you want to buy grain is available in Eretz Mitzrayim, and he told his children, Lama Tishro, go down to Egypt. Okay, next, Zerem.
It also means perceive.
To perceive, right, exactly. That's what it means. That's exactly what the Radak said. The Radak said the word Vayar means to perceive. Okay, it's all one and the same. That's not so simple. Obviously, Rashi and the Mitzudos did not say that. Rashi and the Mitzudos said that we are describing actual sight. And who is seeing? The mountains of Arnon. The mountains of Arnon are witnesses to the passage of the Jewish people in the desert, and they're witness to the enemy lying in ambush right in front of them. Oh, you'll say, but mountains do not have eyes. How do you know they don't have eyes? The pasuk says that the mountains have eyes. We may not see their eyes, roye ve'eino nireh, but we find more often than not that every type of creature. The Chazal said, we mentioned this many times. We have the Maamar Chazal that la'asa lavoy yom hadin, the bricks and stones and planks of wood in a person's own home will open up their mouths and testify against us or for us. everything that we have done privately. We think that what we do is private. Nothing is private. The bricks and the planks of wood in our own home are watching us. Chazal said this 2,000 years ago. Today, it's no big deal to appreciate that. We all know good and well that everything that we do is monitored. And even we may think it's not monitored, but we do know that if somebody does want to monitor us, they can. In this shul over here, I'm in the shul now, right? So in this shul behind me, is a camera. Can you see the camera up there? Can you see the camera in the corner? See the in the corner? There's a camera. So Baruch Horowitz. Baruch Horowitz is the son of our. We have a Mr. Horowitz is in our shir. He has a son, and he works for the shul. He helps out the shul, and he has on his phone access to every single camera in this shul. I'm assuming that he works for the shul, and he comes here every so often to check up what's going on, to make sure everything is in order. And he says to me, "I watch you every single day." He tells me, he sees exactly what I do every single day. Every twitch I make, I'm being watched. So it's no big deal for us today to appreciate that the walls have eyes and ears. But Chazal, 2,000 years ago, by the way, they have secrets. These are only a decoy. Many in good security companies. Everything. And if you're in security, you should know that many security companies, this camera over here would be a fake. It would be an empty box. It would be a decoy to make me think that they're watching me from over here. But the real cameras are hidden, and they're all over the place. And they think if I'll stand by the wall under the camera, I'm not going to be seen. Just the opposite. When you go under the camera, you can't be seen. Then you're in perfect focus for the real cameras. So good security, they see everything and they hear every word you say. The cameras don't just see, they record sound. You go on a city bus or on the subway, every word you say on a city bus is recorded. And the train as well. So be careful what you say on the train. If you say that black lives do not matter, you know you may not reach your destination. If the mayor so decides. So be very careful what you say on the subway and the bus. But Chazal were 2,000 years ahead of the game. And they said, Oizen ayin roye, v'oizen shamas, v'chol ma'asecha, b'sefer nechtavim, which ayin is roye? So in kindergarten, they taught us it's Hashem's ayin. It's Hashem's oizen. But Chazal, from Chazal it's mashma, it's not. It's the bricks. The bricks of your home have eyes and ears. The beams of wood have eyes and ears. We don't appreciate that, but one day it's going to be revealed that the walls themselves, we don't need electronic surveillance. There's surveillance in the walls itself. And that's what it says, Ru'ucha, the mountains, they saw what was taking place and they took action. Radak does not like that answer. The Radak seems to say that mountains do not have eyes. Thus we are describing over here human beings. And even human beings that we are describing cannot mean that they actually saw, because they were living in a different land, in Eretz Canaan. It means they perceived, as Remichol said, they perceived, they heard what was going on. And the proof is Yaakov Avinu himself, who did not go down to Egypt until the last 17 years of his life. Vayar Yaakov ki yeshev in Mitzrayim. And there it does not mean that he actually saw. It means that he heard. Okay, very straightforward. Next, Zerem Mayim Avar, Zerem Mayim Ho'ivrim Bayardain, Ovru Ad Yom Ho'arava Tamu Nichrisu. Okay, this is the Pasuk in Yeshua. He's just quoting the Pasuk in Yeshua. He's not explaining. It just means that the waters of the Yarden continued to flow, and when they reached the blockade where we were passing, they stood strong, they stood tall like a mountain. Like a pillar. Nasan tam koloi bibokea me hayardin nos nukol. He learns here when it's split, it made a sound. Okay, let's go further. Let's see how he elaborates. Roim yodeo yunosa, the exaltedness of his hand was elevated. Hamayim, hayardim, melamala, kamu neid echad. The waters that were flowing downhill, they stood as a pillar. The hoya rom me'oid, they were very, very tall. Ki hayardin hoya moli al kol gidoy. So the yardin at that time was flowing in its prime. It was spring. And in spring is when the yardin, when the snow is melting, and the Yarden is overflowing, and there's a powerful torrent going downstream. When the water stopped, kamu neid echad gavoa, that's what I described to you. The water stood tall and high. Zehu roim yodehu nasa hatahoim nasa yodoy laroim. According to the Radak, he differs with Rashi and the Mitsudos. The subject of the word Yodehu is not Hashem's hand. The subject of Yodehu is the hand of the river. The river's hand. It's not a capital H. It's a lowercase h. The hand of the river was Nosa, stood very, very tall, very, very high when the water was blocked, when the water was flowing downhill. Hatohoim Nosa Yodehu Vidas and Tirgim B'inyin Acher. Now Yonah's son, now we're coming to a Nupshat, according to Yonason, we are now referring not to the Yarden, we're now referring to Nachal Arnon, we are referring to Matan Torah. When Hashem, when you reveal on Har Sinai, the mountain shook, Anone Mitra. Ado are to hoima kole chele meroma tovo kamu. So let's read those words. Let's go read the words one more time in the Targum. Be'is gila yusach al Torah de Sinai. When Hashem revealed himself in Har Sinai, chazo yikarach, your glory was revealed. Zohu turaya, the mountains shook. Anone Mitra, the clouds of rain, Ado, Areim Tehoima, towards the Tehoim, Kole Chele Miroma Temohu Kamu. They gave out loud sounds. I don't know the exact translation. The Anone Mitra, the clouds of rain, Ado, those are words that he has added in, it seems. No, not necessarily. Zeremayim Ovar. Okay, Reucha. Let's go to the Pasuk. The Pasuk reads, Reucha, the mountains saw Hashem, Har Sinai. Har Sinai witnessed Hashem's divine presence. Yochilu Harim. Okay, Harim means the mountains. The mountains, I guess, the mountains of Sinai. Even though over here Sinai is one mountain, for some reason, the Targum seems to translate the word Harim to mean many mountains. Isn't that what it says? Hashem revealed Al Tura de Sinai, the mountain of Sinai, and that's Harim. And Zeremayim Ovar, when Hashem's revelation, when Hashem appeared, then the waters of rain Nosan Tehoim Koiloi. It directed its ponim. It directed itself towards the Tehoim and gave forth a very loud noise. Roim Yodeo Nosa, and the Chele Miroma, the might of the Exalted One, Temohu Kamu, it stood still. Okay, I don't know exactly what this means, but it's something along the lines, at least according to Targum, what it means is that this pasuk is describing Matan Torah. The mountain here refers to Har Sinai. When Hashem came down on Har Sinai, the mountain shook, and the clouds that were filled with water, they gave forth a very loud sound towards the Tehoim. According to the Targum, we read this expression together. We Zeremayim Ovar Nosan Tehoim Koiloi. He puts these four words together. The flow of water that passes, And that seems to mean the water that is found in the clouds of heaven, they, Nosan, they directed themselves towards the Tehoim, Koiloi, by giving out a very loud sound. And at that moment in time, the exaltedness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was elevated, the whole world shook and stood still in preparation to receive the Torah. So we have here a very beautiful pasuk according to the Targum describing Matan Torah. Now, one thing to repeat this idea, if you go back, basically every single pasuk of the Targum is describing Matan Torah. And that is why, clearly why, we lane this section on the second day of Shavuos. And not only do we lay in this section the second day of Shavuos, we give the Miturgamon a little license, and we say the Yitziv Piskam V'Yoyron, we sing that Nigun. Why? Because that was the Hakdama of the Miturgamon. Why are we highlighting the Miturgamon on the second day of Shavuos? The answer is because we want to remind you that if you want to know the answer as to why we're learning this Haftorah, these psukim, why these psukim? Read the Mefarshim. The Mefarshim here don't seem to say that this has anything to do with Matan Torah. We're describing what took place. I mean, it alludes to in the beginning, maybe according to one of the Mefarshim in the beginning, but primarily it's describing our Jewish history. It's describing Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's describing what happened in the desert, Nachal Arnon, coming into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so you'll say Drush, that Shavuos, the Shtei Lechem, it's the fifth Lashon of Geula, the Hevesi. Okay, you can twist and turn, you can be Miyashiv, why we lay in this section on Shavuos, even according to the Mitzudas Rashi, Radak, and the Malbim, and V'chulu V'chulu. But according to the Targum, you don't have to give any answers. According to the Targum, from the very beginning of the first Targum, all the way through the end, over and over, the Pshutoi Shel Mikra describes Matan Torah. And that's why we lane this Haftorah on the second day of Shavuos, unapologetic, and that is why, to make sure you get it, we're not focusing today on the Mitzudos Rashi Radak, we're focusing today on the Malbim. That is why we give the Miturgamon, we highlight him to draw our attention to the Targum of these psukim. Today, many of the good chumashim, many of the new chumashim today, in the back of the chumash, and on the back, even after every parasha, they have not just a haftorah, they also have a parish on the haftorah. So some of them have their own parish, and some of the better chumashim, they have Rashi, they have the Radak, they'll have the Mitzudos David. Some of the editions of Art Scroll, every Haftorah, they don't just give you the Haftorah, they give you the Mefarshim. But I don't think they give you the Targum. They don't necessarily give you, because the Targum is not popular. Isn't it ironic that when it comes to Shavuos, the only Perush that the Art Scroll should give, if they're going to give you a Perush on the Haftorah for the second day of Shavuos, should be the Targum? Because the Targum is the only one of the Mefarshim that directly translates every single word in reference to Matan Torah, which is the Inyan Diyoma of what we're doing on Shavuos. So the second day of Shavuos, the Targum is the Ikar Perish to focus on. Here describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu appearing in Har Sinai, and the mountain Har Sinai shook, and the clouds, they roared, gave forth their voice towards the depths of the sea, and Hashem's and Royim Yodeu Sela, the might of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tumahu Kamu, stood still. The exaltedness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was present. Something along those lines. Now let us take a look at the Malbim. I'm going to put on the screen the Malbim. Okay, let me just see what's doing over here time-wise. Oh, it's already 1 hour. It's already 1 hour, so we have to really stop here. Let's stop over here then. Okay, we'll take a short break. And then I want to probably spend today the entire day, we'll see, probably spend the remaining time. I want to go through the Eitzer Pila'ois, Parsha. We used to do this back in the day, and We never got, Bamidbar is a new volume. It came out last year. Let me just show you the volume I'm referring to. Give me, let me go get it. Here it is. Okay, this volume, everyone, this volume is an incredible sefer. This sefer, the Oyd Siplois, this came out last year on Bamidbar. And I have to tell you, the person who wrote this, he gets better. He got a lot better. Who am I to say, right? Who am I to say? But I think in Bamidbar, he really, really, it's over the top. He has some things here. Amazing, amazing things. I want to spend some time going over some in Yonim, specifically about basar, meat, and the mun. In this week's parasha, we learn about the slav and the mun. Klal Yisrael complained, they're hungry. They want better food. They're tired of the mun. And Hashem responded with the mun and with the slav. And the psukim there are very, very fascinating. What exactly the conversation between Moshe and Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in those psukim are incredible chidushim and yesoidos regarding the laws and the inyanim of eating basar and other things as well. And we'll talk about that after the break.